And let's stay in Africa for a reminder that the upheaval of the Arab Spring has left many open wounds. This is the story of two towns in Libya, just miles apart. One was largely against Libya's former dictator, Muammar Gaddafi. The other mostly supported him. When the Gaddafi regime was overthrown in 2011, it triggered a chain of events that saw one town's residents flee. They say their forced departure had as much to do with race as politics. NPR's Leila Fadel reports.
Little boys play soccer in the afternoon heat at a makeshift camp near Libya's capital. Their homes, or what's left of them, are in Tawarra, a small town about 20 miles from the Mediterranean coast. The town has been empty since August of 2011. Its residents fled in cars and on foot under fire from militiamen from the nearby town of Misrata. The siege of Misrata was one of the bloodiest battles of the Libyan war. Forces loyal to Muammar al-Gaddafi shelled the town relentlessly, killing hundreds. When it was over, the people of Misrata, especially its powerful militia, accused residents of Tawarra of colluding with Gaddafi's forces. The militia attacked the town, burned and looted its homes, and vowed that the residents would never be allowed to return. Now Tawarrans live in camps like this one. It's in a former marine academy where displaced Libyans get by with barely any electricity or water, afraid to leave because men who go outside the camp often don't come back. Ali Arroz was a radiologist in Tawarra. Now he's an activist in the camp, trying to help his community of about 40,000 people return home. He denies that the entire population of Tawarra colluded with Gaddafi's forces, and he says that the town's residents are targeted in part because they are black. The Misratan militiamen are hunting us in every corner of Libya, Arroz says, and they are saying on television that they will rid Libya of black people. They won't welcome us with flowers, he says, but we will go back to our homes. Arroz shows us around the camp. He, like so many here, fled to Tawarra with nothing but the clothes he was wearing. And now when he leaves the camp, his son cries, worried that he won't come back. Men disappear every day, he says. He introduces us to Sara Dalmar, a woman in her 70s sitting on a blanket on the floor. Her son is missing, and she believes he was detained by one of the militiamen from Misrata. Hundreds of Tawarran men are listed as missing, dead, or detained. A commission of inquiry for the UN Human Rights Council concluded that crimes against humanity have been committed against the Tawarrans. Sarat pulls one child after another towards her and tells me, this one has no father, this one too, and this one. It was a war between tribes and we are being punished, she says. I will never forgive the Misratans. But despite the continuing threat from the militia, Sarat Omar and the others in this camp plan to return to Tawarra on June 25th. But the government is concerned that if the Tawarrans return, Misratans will respond with force. Mohammed Abdullah is a member of Libya's General National Congress from Misrata.
I think it's very reckless. I think it's irresponsible. That does not mean that we accept the living conditions and the sufferings of the people of Tawarra or any displaced people. This is something that is not acceptable, regardless of what's happened.
Abdullah says the government has failed to reconcile the two towns with a process of transitional justice that would bring pro-Gaddafi criminals to account for their crimes.
There is a crime, a very deep wound that still bleeds in Misrata and in many other cities that have been carried out by pro-Gaddafi people. And all the city of Tawarra should not pay the price for the actions of some criminals.
But Abdullah says the deep wounds the people of Misrata suffered will make it difficult for them to forgive their neighbors and allow them to return.
From a human standpoint, to go and convince a father whose daughter has been raped by these criminals to come and say, by the way, their relatives are coming back to live in their homes as if nothing had happened.
Back in the camp, a woman washes the floors in one building where makeshift apartments are divided by pieces of cardboard. She calls the Libyan revolution a disaster, but vows that she too will return to Tawarra. Leila Fadel, NPR News,